This is Audible.
Pulse. Written by Kaelin Gao. Narrated by Melissa Moran. Prologue. She ran like an animal. Her clothes were wet, sopping, clinging to her thighs and to her chest, hollow and transparent around the curve of her shoulders. Her hair shook out droplets of rain. Her cheeks were flushed, and she was breathless. He could see her heartbeat throbbing at the side of her throat, see it in the rhythmic panting, hear it from across the street, pounding in his ears, intermingled with the thunder bolting from the sky. He could feel it. It felt like an earthquake to him, shaking his ribs, his shoulders, his legs. It had been so long since he had seen a heartbeat like hers, since he had felt a heartbeat at all. The skies had opened up, as they so often did in North California, without any warning, without any hesitation. It was as if the smooth blue glass ceiling of the world had shattered all at once, letting the primordial oceans pound down upon the pavement. He could see her consternation, her irritation. She wanted nothing but to get out of the rain, to dry herself off, to curl up into something warm and dry. But Jaeger loved the rain. He loved the energy, the pulse of life beating down upon the earth. He could hear the scattered raindrops in their rhythmic approach to earth, and pretend that each fall of rain was a beat of his dead heart. And she was alive with the energy, too, alive as he had never seen a woman alive, tossing her hair back, running into shelter. And her lips were pink, and her cheeks were red. He remembered that his lips would never again be pink, that his cheeks would never again be red. She was so young. Humans so often surprised him in that way. They looked no different from him. He could have been 17. He had been 17 for so long. But their youth never failed to surprise him. The way the world was so new to them, that rain could still take them by surprise when he had seen so many rainfalls. He could smell her. The wind carried her scent to him like an animal scent. And it was all he could do to keep his fangs in check. He leaned heavily upon the branch and parted the leaves to get a better look at her. He could feel the blood, stagnant in his veins, begin something like a torpid, sluggish shift towards life, the closest thing he would ever get to a heartbeat. She was the sort of girl who made young boys' hearts pound, he thought, and they never knew how lucky they were to experience that sensation. For it was the physical aspect of it, he thought, that humans understood least of all. They romanticized vampires, of course. How terrible it would be to live at night, to drink blood, to prey upon humans. These were things they could intellectualize, understand. Humans had been forced to commit murder. Humans had been forced to bite back their most natural primal desires. And so they could almost understand, when they imagined vampires, what it was like to feel that insatiable hunger for a woman's throat, her breast, her wrist. But not a human in the world had ever been alive without living, without a heartbeat. And so they took it for granted, what it meant, that constant linear throbbing, clock-like, towards inevitable death. For Jaeger was a vampire, and he was not alive. And the dull ache in his chest where a heartbeat should have been was for him one of the most agonizing things in the world. They don't know, he thought. They'll never understand. He had been told that she was the one. He had waited for her until sunset, the sun agonizing upon him, even with the ring around his finger. Vampires were not meant for light, and even the strongest magic could not take away the pain, searing, burning, aching in his flesh. He was unnatural in sunlight, and only now that dusk was beginning to settle over him could he find relief. He sat perched in the tree, obscured by the leaves, staring at her as she ran down the street. He leaned in too closely. The birds noticed at last that something was wrong in their midst and took flight. A flurry of wings beat up around him, and the branch snapped from the tree and plummeted to the earth below. It was enough time to make a distraction. He concentrated, and in half a second he was behind her, so close he could feel the wind blow her hair upon his lips. And then he opened the umbrella above her.
"Miss?" he said.
She startled. "What the?"
She rounded on him. "You looked wet," he said.
She did not seem amused.
I'm warning you, she said. I know kung fu.
He had learned kung fu once, many centuries ago. He thought it better not to mention it.
I'm sorry, he said. I was just trying to help.
She softened.
Thanks,
she said, lamely.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap at you, but you need to learn not to sneak up on people like that. You scared me.
Her eyes remained fixed upon the tree from which he had come. A suspicious glare clouded her gaze. Had she seen? Was she wondering?
He knew she knew something was wrong. He tried to maintain whatever pleasant normalcy he could. The sequoias were tall, after all. No human could survive a jump from them.
He knew she knew this. He knew she thought he was human.
Don't do this. His mind raged against him. Don't do this.
But vampires had the power of hypnosis, called compulsion. And Jaeger felt himself hypnotized too. He could not stop himself. He could not stop her. Her eyes grew wide, and he could see them grow hot and fevered with desire.
Not again, Jaeger.
He had promised himself never to use his influence on mortals again. It was dishonorable, Aaron had said. But what could be dishonorable for a vampire? Their rules were of conquest, of power. He could not remember a century when human rules had governed him.
Take this, he said,
trying to pretend to himself that it was not the magic, trying to pretend, perhaps, it was only his beauty.
He was beautiful, after all.
But he could not control it, any more than she could control it. His hypnosis reflected back at him from the depths of her eyes. He handed her his umbrella. She clasped her fingers around it.
Thank you, she whispered. It was the dull voice of possession. Damn it, Jaeger, not again.
This had never happened to him before. Whenever he had hypnotized a human female, it had been intentional. In the days before Aaron, he had felt no regret. He had plucked out the most beautiful maidens in every century, and thus made them succumb to him. But this was different. He had never meant to do it. Something about this human female affected him and chipped his resolve like no other before. He had promised never to do it. He was under his own spell. He felt his arms gather around her neck, his lips come closer to her mouth, until at last he could breathe in the air from her mouth and taste the life moist on her lips and smell her intoxicating hint of perfume. He could feel her heartbeat against her chest, the constant rhythm as steady as the rain. And then the spell was broken. She recoiled. She could feel the deathly cold of his lips, the chill on his cheek. She was still dulled in her confusion, but it was enough for him to regain control of his powers, to run, to hide his shame. What a humiliation! For a vampire not to control his powers? Had he gone soft? He reasoned. Ever since he'd listened to Aaron's stupid admonitions, he was letting his vampire nature get the better of him. Well, enough of that, he thought. Stuart was the soft one. Jaeger was not. And Jaeger had no patience for these kinds of games. Kalina was the key, after all. Next time he saw her, he'd be prepared. He'd have control over his powers. He'd be waiting. And he'd show her no mercy. Kalina stood staring a moment after he had gone, trying to piece together what had happened. A stranger. A strange smell, like the bark of trees or the musk of the woods, an arm around her, something against her lips. She could not remember the order of events. A kiss, then a rustle in the trees, then his arms, then a stranger? Or was it the other way around? But the feelings lingered, adrenaline rushing through her veins, her desire like perfume hanging upon the air. It was unlike anything she had ever felt before. She had known desire, she supposed. She and Aaron had made out a few times in the library mezzanine after study hall, and even let him see her in her bra once or twice. But this was different. There had been no fumbling, no embarrassed confusion, no accidental clashing of teeth or kick in the leg. She had wanted to... Oh, sometimes she had really wanted to. But whenever things had gotten close, he'd run off. Find some excuse,
some text message on his phone, go out drinking and emerge tipsy in the afternoon, smelling of alcohol and staggering in zigzags. The taste of the stranger remained on her lips, and yet she could not remember him having kissed her. Or who he was. She only felt something hot in the pit of her stomach, something hot and strange, and she was still breathless. But she must have stopped running 5 minutes ago. She scanned her mind for what could have happened. She had read about girls getting drugged at nightclubs. A girl in the year above her had been roofied and raped after prom, and a football player had been suspended. The girl had transferred to a school in New York City. She had always been careful, even paranoid, watching her cup at parties, telling a friend where she was before she went out to party with the rest of the cheerleading squad. But she hadn't been drinking. It was a school afternoon, and she had done nothing but jog to the library in the rain. Drugs? No. Since Aaron's death, she had stared many times at her brother's prescription pad, which he always left so tantalizingly close on his desk. She could have forged his signature, gotten herself something to numb the pain. But she wasn't stupid. She prided herself on not being stupid. Other girls were stupid. Girls who didn't get good grades, who drank too much at parties, who cried about breakups in math class. She judged them harshly, too harshly, Aaron had said. They were only human, he'd reminded her. What a strange, almost paternal care for the girls in her grade. But Kalina was strong, she reminded herself. She wasn't stupid. She hadn't been doing drugs. She hadn't been drinking. She knew not to drink. Aaron was a drinker. She had broken up with Aaron for being a drinker. She knew that smart girls didn't black out. She knew this. Then what happened? She reached the library, and then she realized it. There was an umbrella in her hand. She swallowed hard and tried to forget, tried to cool her blood as it burned and boiled in her veins. But seeing the library doors didn't make it any easier. She hadn't been to the library since the end of her junior year, since they found the remains of Aaron. She hadn't needed to study in summer. She was a straight-A student, anyway. But now, it was senior fall, and not even the memories would deter her from being valedictorian, deter her from applying early to Yale, deter her. She was smart, damn it! She punched the door open. She was smart! She was sensible. She could get over this. She had to get over this. She was strong. And yet her heart wouldn't stop pounding. Seeing the Greystone Bible didn't make it any easier. It was Aaron's family Bible, passed down through centuries of frontiersmen and saloon owners, the story of the American West in smudged print and faded daguerreotype. Aaron had been so proud when the library had asked to exhibit it. He told her about his half-brother, whom she had never met, and how proud he would be, too. And there was the Bible, encased in glass, and now along with the frontiersmen and the pioneers, there was a birth date and a death date for Aaron Greystone, who was only 17 when he died. She brushed the tears back from her eyes. There wasn't time for this. But she couldn't stop herself from going over to the exhibit, to touching the glass, even giving it a kiss with her fingertips, hoping nobody would see. "Goodbye, Aaron," she whispered. The week they had broken up, Aaron had told her that the most important secrets of his life lay in the Greystone Bible. She hadn't wanted to listen to him then. She assumed he was just drunk, as usual. "You're wasting your life," she'd said. And he had. DUI, death under idiocy, she thought. They'd said it was a random attack. Kalina didn't believe it. His family was probably just trying to cover it up. It wouldn't look good for Aaron Greystone of Greystone Wineries to have died driving drunk. He had been so stupid, so stupid. She couldn't forgive him. Her eyes were misty with tears. She rounded away from the Bible. She couldn't look at it now, and ran smack straight into a boy, blinded by her grief. "Sorry," she mumbled. "It's fine." That voice. She looked up, and her heart stopped beating altogether. "Aaron?" Chapter 1 Stuart could see the pain in her eyes. For a moment, there was recognition there.
She saw Aaron in him. Her tear-filled eyes could fix upon the resemblance. The same hazel eyes, deep and warm and comforting. The same sandy brown hair, swept back, only slightly too long. The same smile, as balmy as a summer beach. He knew what she saw in him. And he knew, too, her disappointment when she clapped her hand over her mouth and turned away in shame.
"I'm sorry," she mumbled.
"I'm sorry. I only thought..."
"I know," he said, clearing his throat.
He'd been waiting for this for so long, and yet he wasn't sure what to say to her.
"You know?"
He saw her furrow her brow.
"Aaron," said Stuart, sticking out his hand. "He was my brother."
"You're..."
Kalina gave a little laugh, half of relief, half of self-mockery.
"He doesn't have..."
"Half-brother," Stuart said. "I was away when it happened. Aaron and I haven't spoken in quite some years, but when I heard..."
"You came back," said Kalina.
"Yes, yes."
She was looking him up and down now, with a powerful and inquisitive eye he had never seen in humans before. Usually he was able to cow them into submission. He never did it unless it was absolutely necessary, to escape a burning or an attack, or a harsh dawn, for he found it distasteful. But he knew it was one power in the vampire arsenal. She continued examining him. He knew she was looking for traces of Aaron in him. Then again, she was no ordinary human.
"He spoke so highly of you," Stuart said.
"I'm glad," said Kalina.
"He loved you very much."
Kalina flushed. "He was a boy," she said. "He didn't know what love was."
"Harsh, to speak ill of the dead," said Stuart.
He had not expected this, but the tears in her eyes suggested she wasn't quite as unmoved as she sounded. "Of course he was a boy. He was 17, she said. Her voice trembled. "He was 17, and now he'll never grow up. Now he'll never know what it's like to really love somebody." Her cheeks grew hot and red. "I loved him too, but it wasn't supposed to be forever. And now, it's forever for him, I guess."
"I'm sorry," said Stuart.
"Oh, God, no, I'm sorry," said Kalina. "I'm being so insensitive. He was your brother." She looked up at him, her eyes still searching his face. "For what?" he wondered.
"I didn't know him well," said Stuart shortly,
and yet he could see what Aaron had seen in her. She was exquisitely beautiful, with long limbs and silky dark brown hair like a pony's mane, loosely hanging down her back. She was lithe and toned and coltish, and in her eyes there was a trace of something not altogether Californian, a look that reminded him of the Chinese girls he had known centuries earlier. It was a beauty he had not been used to seeing among the bottle blondes and false tans of California. It made him think of home.
"So, you're back," Kalina tried again, composing herself. "Someone had to help run the wineries," said Stuart.
"Just what they need," said Kalina. "Those damn wineries." She rubbed her eyes.
"I'm sorry?"
"Their own son, an alcoholic. And after what happened? The wineries."
"After what happened?"
Kalina stiffened. "Right. Aaron's death. They never found his body, you know. Apparently he was driving drunk and his car crashed. His body flew out into the wilderness near the school. May have been knocked unconscious and the coyotes got to him. In the end, all they found were his bloodied clothes. After a week of searching and not finding anything, they declared him dead." So, she had noticed that the circumstances of his death were suspicious.
"What do you think happened?"
"It's not my place," said Kalina. "I'm sorry."
"No."
He placed a hand on her shoulder.
"I'm sorry. Please, tell me. It's okay."
"Look," said Kalina. "Aaron, he had a drinking problem. A bad one. I told him, don't get in the car unless your blood alcohol level is virtually nil. I told him, call me, I'll drive you home. Always give the keys to a friend. But he was stupid." The word crunched in her mouth.
"Yeah, stupid."
The tears began flowing again.
"I know you're his brother. I don't care. It was a stupid thing to do, getting in a car wasted and leaving the rest of us here, missing him." He wanted to put his arms around her, to comfort her, to tell her the truth.
May I?
He always felt so bold, approaching women. When he was born, a man could get stoned for less.
May I offer you a hug?
She laughed through her tears.
Of course, she said.
I guess you need one too, huh?
He wrapped his arms around her, smelling the sweet hints of flowers in her hair. Honeysuckle, was it? Or roses? He had never quite gotten used to the invention of women's scented shampoo. He wanted to hold her tighter, to squeeze out her pain, to protect her. She let him hold her a moment longer than was necessary.
We can miss him together,
she said, pulling away. He had come for the Bible. He had not expected to find her here. But now she was encircled in his arms. He could feel her heartbeat lightly tapping against his dead chest, and he couldn't help but trust her. Perhaps she could help him.
Aaron didn't die in a car crash, he said, and he didn't die from wild animals.
What? What happened?
That's why I'm here, said Stuart.
She couldn't get over the resemblance. As she stared at him, it was like staring into Aaron's face again. Not drunk Aaron, boyish Aaron, stupid pranks pulling, class-skipping Aaron. This was the Aaron she had always dreamed about. Older, wiser, who had seen the world and known all things and was strong and brave enough to still stay standing. This is the Aaron she had for so long wanted him to be. He had driven her crazy, his immaturity, his pranks, his high school jests, and she had wanted so much more than that. And now it was like she was seeing not a ghost of the past, but rather a phantom of the future, who Aaron might have been one day, given the time, if he had lived. She thought back to the note Aaron had left her. My life is in danger. The secrets are in the Bible. She had found it while she was cleaning out her book bag. It had angered her, at first. The scrawled hand, the obsessive paranoia. She'd assumed he'd been drinking when he wrote it, when he left it in one of the notebooks he'd returned to her after the breakup. I'll explain everything when I can. I will always love you. Always. What a ridiculous word. As if it meant anything, when she was on one side of that great chasm of life and he was on another, and there was nothing straddling that infinite divide. And now Stuart was saying there was something mysterious about his death after all.
I've come to see the Bible, he was saying.
She hadn't believed Aaron. Why hadn't she believed him?
I believe there are some clues in there.
Clues?
Clues. Kalina. Miss Kalina. I believe it might not have been altogether unsuspicious.
Unsuspicious, she repeated, dully. It was too much to take in all at once.
I see that you cared for him a great deal, he said.
Yes.
May I offer you my arm?
He proffered it to her.
We can look at the book together.
She nodded. The doors of the library swung open with a huge gush of wind. Together, they shivered. A whip of wind rushed past them. The door swung closed again. A thunderbolt clapped in the distance.
Oh my God!
The librarian's shrill voice broke the silence. They looked down. Behind them, the glass case that once held the Greystone Bible, held it seconds before, was empty. It was gone. Chapter 2 Stuart could smell him in the air. His powers were the powers of a vampire, heightened by over 1,000 years of practice, honing his skills in the hunt and pursuit of prey. Stuart could smell that distinctive musk, like the bark of an ancient tree, and he knew his brother had come. He knew his brother's smell like he knew his own. He had tracked it over continents before.
Jaeger,
he whispered.
Who?
Kalina started, stammering with confusion.
I'll be back.
Before she could respond, he had taken off, running with swift-footed surety into the night, no slower than a burst of wind, so fast that he looked less like a man than a blur, swooping through the shadows.
Jaeger!
Stuart called out again. He sniffed the air, trying to follow Jaeger's tracks.
You can't hide from me forever, Jaeger!
The leaves rustled beneath his feet. The trees swarmed past him as he flew, his feet no longer even touching the ground. They came to the Rutherford Cemetery. So this is where Jaeger was going. Stuart should have known.
He heard a rustle in the branches. He felt the scent hot upon his nose and his mouth. He had found him at last.
"My dear brother!"
Jaeger was standing in the middle of a clearing by two familiar graves, his skin as pale as moonlight in the evening shadows. The Greystone Bible was clutched in his hands.
"What? No, not a surprise. Not a surprise at all." "You coward! Why chase me, Stuart, when you know you can't fight me? When you know if you catch me, all you'll do is get beaten once again. It seems like a waste of time, if you ask me."
"Give me the book, Jaeger," said Stuart.
"Why should I?"
Jaeger had begun to pace, like a panther stalking around his prey.
"It's useful to me. Give me the book,"
said Stuart, more loudly this time, but already he knew that the effort was futile. When it came to Jaeger, it always was.
"That's no way to talk to your brother after such a long absence."
He dug lines in the dirt with the heel of his boot.
"You'd think you'd start with, 'Hello, how are you? How's the last century been treating you?' More than a century, hasn't it been?"
120 years, said Stuart, through gritted teeth.
"You always did have such a good memory," said Jaeger. "Father would have been so proud."
"Don't you talk about father."
Jaeger patted the grave lightly.
"I can talk about him all I like. He's right here, isn't he? Hello, father."
He laughed.
"Hi, Dad. Hey there, Pops. How's the afterlife treating you?"
"Oh, wait, there isn't an afterlife for our kind, is there?"
Stuart felt the familiar anger rise up in his throat. He could not resist. He launched himself onto Jaeger, sinking his teeth into Jaeger's right shoulder. He knew it was stupid, that he didn't have a chance, that he never had a chance. But he could not stop himself. He had never been able to stop himself.
"Fool!"
Jaeger laughed lightly, throwing Stuart back across the cemetery.
"No!"
Stuart rushed at him again, blind rage clouding his eyes, so that he could see nothing but only feel the harsh fingernails tearing at his arms and face, the blows coming fast upon his nose and mouth, the dry, decaying blood oozing out in fatty globules from where Jaeger had cut him. At last he was defeated, and Jaeger was standing above him, laughing. He felt a rough hand jerk him up by the hair, and then Jaeger's teeth closed around his throat. It was the shame, more than the pain, that forced Stuart's eyes shut. No vampire could withstand being bitten like a human, without all the humiliation that entailed.
"How'd you like that?"
said Jaeger.
"Feel good? After all, you like feeling like a mortal, don't you? That's what this is all about. You want that virgin's blood. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve any of it. Try running Greystone wineries when you're not vampire enough to harvest its blood. You never drink from the unwilling, do you? How do you expect to run our supply on volunteers alone?"
"It can be done," said Stuart.
"Father never did,"
Jaeger laughed.
"You think all that vampire wine was volunteer given?
"We have technology now,"
said Stuart, coughing up more globules of blood.
"It's different. We don't need as many humans as we once did." "Aspirin?"
Jaeger threw Stuart to the ground.
"Please. It's humane."
Aspirin thinned the blood, allowing the supply of blood cells to diffuse out into the liquid.
"Humane? When we're not human? It tastes like shit, Stuart, and no self-respecting vampire would drink aspirin-tainted blood. You're a joke, and everyone knows volunteer blood is like a whore's body. When they're giving it away like that, you've got to wonder how worthy is it, really."
"What would you have me drink?"
said Stuart.
"Beautiful young women. Young men. Unwilling.
Always unwilling.
Maybe that pretty virgin you're trying so hard to protect. Could you stop yourself from gobbling her up? You know, if I wanted her, I could have her. But I wouldn't want her blood to restore me to my human nature. Where's the fun in that? No. I just want the power. She doesn't even have to be a virgin for that. I could deflower her, and then you'd never get to be a human again."
"How dare you!"
Stuart roared. The idea of Jaeger seducing Kalina was more than he could bear. It had hit a nerve. So often, Jaeger had taken Stuart's women after finishing his own. So often, he would insist on draining them when he had finished, Stuart begging him not to all the while.
I am a vampire, Jaeger had said then. What more do you expect? What, protecting that woman's honor from a distance? You think you're doing her any favors? Putting her in a nunnery? I know 17-year-old girls. She's not going to stay chaste for your sake. You're a pig,
Jaeger shrugged.
I know what I want from her. If she is the girl in the legend, I will drain her dry. And then, my blood will pump. My heart will race. I shall walk in the sun and the shadows alike. But to give up my immortality? Please, you're a fool. How can you not want to die? Stuart said.
Jaeger laughed.
I'm enjoying being undead far too much, he said. And I make no apologies about what I am. If I stalk that lovely piece of flesh, then she is my prey. I am not ashamed.
But you, imagining she'll fall in love with you, that she'll freely give you her blood.
How is that any less disgusting than what I'm doing?
Only you won't admit it, you hypocrite.
It's different with me, Stuart cried.
What could he say? That he loved Kalina? He barely knew her. He'd been watching her, protecting her, waiting. She was the key to what he wanted most in the world, to become human again, to live again, to feel his soul return into his body and give him hope for heaven, one day. And whenever he looked at her, he saw that future, that chance, that possibility reflected in her eyes. And how could he not fall in love with that?
Good luck keeping her virginity,
Jaeger laughed as he sauntered off.
You're so abstinent.
Stuart knew the legend. Only a virgin from that sacred line, could provide life's blood. An outdated rule, perhaps, but a rule from outdated times.
Damn you!
In a flash, Jaeger was at Stuart's throat again. He picked him up by the back of the neck, as he would a naughty dog.
Listen, younger brother. The girl is mine. You understand that?
He flung Stuart once more into the earth and vanished into the night. Kalina waited a while longer in the library before giving up. She needed some time to collect her thoughts. She had given a statement to the librarian, who had by now called the police, and at last been allowed to leave. What had happened to Stuart? She wondered. He had run off so quickly. She hadn't even seen him run. He had only vanished. Like magic. Never mind, she told herself. It was stupid to even think of trying to get back with anything Greystone. That family destroyed whatever it touched, and the smartest thing she could do was stay away. She decided to walk back to her car. She had left it across town, thinking she'd get a jog in before the library. That was before the rain had started. She prayed that she had remembered to close the windows. It was dark now, and the moon poured down a milky light onto the path. What a day, she thought. She never liked walking alone at night. Rutherford was a safe town, but Kalina had never been able to shake that feeling that she was being watched. From her childhood, she had always felt that somebody's eyes were upon her, that somebody was looking at her through the whispering trees of the wood. The fear had gotten worse after Aaron had died. Even in her strenuous study of kung fu and cheerleading, a martial art, she called it, and one she hoped would garner a college scholarship, had never made her feel quite safe. She felt the same fear whip within her again tonight. The rain was beginning to fall again, moistening her hair and her lips, and erasing the tears from the corner of her eyes. Then she felt a hand around her mouth.
We meet again, beautiful.
It was the same voice, the same smell, the same powerful rush of her blood that she had felt in the afternoon. She gasped.
Let me go!
She tried to remember her martial arts training, giving him a sharp elbow to the gut as she bit into his hand. Surprised, he let her go. She started running.
Not so fast, my pretty.
He caught up and took her hand again, holding on to her with what must have been superhuman strength.
Look at me.
He forced her face around to him. His eyes bore into hers. She felt her resistance waning, the same sleepy sense come over her. She knew that she was supposed to be running away, but she could no longer remember why. The power of his eyes drilled into her.
Who are you?
She asked, dully.
You will not scream, he said. I will not scream.
Get in the car.
Mechanically, she clicked open the door.
May I enter?
Yes, of course. She made room for him. The narrating voice in her head, her self-awareness, had been shut off like an electronic switch.
My name is Jaeger Greystone, he said. I am not here to hurt you.
Greystone? Her mental facilities were coming back to her.
I was Aaron's half-brother. He told me about you. He told me to find you.
The cloud in her brain was abating. She began to regain consciousness of where she was, of who she was. She slapped him across the face.
What the hell is wrong with you? She said. You couldn't have just come up to me and said hello like a normal person? I thought you were a mugger. You scared the hell out of me.
I had to come secretly, after what happened with Aaron.
What the hell were you thinking?
Aaron sent me, before he died. He sent me a note. He was in danger. Do you know anything about this danger?
Yeah. She wriggled out of his grasp.
It comes in a glass bottle. Look, you need to leave.
Vampire wine was the least of Aaron's problems.
Vampire wine?
You don't think vampires get by without sucking human blood without some sort of relief?
What? His face fell.
You didn't know.
Get out.
My dear lady.
He took her hand. She pulled it away.
Get out of the car. If you want my wallet, take my wallet. And get the hell out of my car. I don't know what you've been smoking, or what the hell you're on to think attacking me was a good idea. But whatever it is, I want you out.
You didn't know.
Out!
As you wish.
He left as soon as he had come. She saw a flash flit across the parking lot, and then she was gone. She needed to process this.
A vampire?
No, that was crazy. Vampires didn't exist. But her mind flashed back to Stuart. His preternatural flight across the library quadrangle, the way he had vanished. That strange power Jaeger was able to exert over her. His flight across the lot now. Perhaps it made a strange sort of sense. She buried her head in her hands, feeling the tears come again. Tears of stress and anger along with pain. She had experienced too many surprises today. She had revoked his invitation. He had no choice but to leave the vehicle. He glowered at her from a distance. Even from 50 feet away, he could see the tears running down her face. Seeing her wrapped around her knees, sobbing. He couldn't help but feel pity for her, even wanting to hold her. He shook away the sensation.
You're a vampire,
he told himself.
Don't be humane.
She was his ticket to power, nothing more. And yet his powers had failed him that morning? He ignored it. He had to focus on the mission. Her. He concentrated hard on her, willing her to forget that he had ever told her anything, wiping her mind clean. He saw her face relax, her eyes brighten with joyful forgetfulness. The tears dried quickly on her eyes as she looked around, confused, wondering how she got into the car. She had forgotten everything. Chapter 3 Kalina spent that evening trying to piece together the previous day. She had blanked out on two occasions, losing whole chunks of her memory. What had happened? She couldn't sleep that night, playing the day over and over in her mind. She remembered meeting Stuart, who had vanished as quickly as he had come. And she remembered a mysterious man on the street. And then something had happened in her car to upset her. But she couldn't remember what it was. Too much stress, she reasoned. And she hadn't been sleeping enough anyway. The nightmare since Aaron's death had been too much to bear. When she arrived at school the next day, she greeted Maeve on the steps. She and Maeve had been best friends for years. Through boyfriends and heartaches and broken promises, they had always been there for each other.
How are you doing? Asked Maeve. You look like you've been having a rough time. There are bags under your eyes.
Couldn't sleep, said Kalina. Bad dreams.
You should try diazepam. It's what my mom takes when she can't sleep.
Maeve's mother took a lot of medications for a lot of different ailments. Justin would never prescribe it. He's paranoid about side effects. He probably had to memorize them all in med school.
Yeah, the last thing I need is to be less alert.
What's that supposed to mean? I'm... Kalina sighed.
I don't know. Had a rough few days. Keep forgetting stuff.
Since Erin?
Yeah, I guess.
I hear that happens sometimes, when people are traumatized.
But she wasn't traumatized. Or at least, she hadn't been. But she couldn't help feeling that something was wrong.
Maybe I'll go crazy, like those soldiers coming back from Iraq.
You're not crazy.
Maeve linked her arm through hers.
You're going through a rough time, that's all.
I hope so.
Kalina looked down. The bell rang, and it was time for history class. The crowds of students swarmed the hallway.
Hey, who's that?
Maeve laughed and turned her head around. Kalina craned her neck to see a tall, slender male body. He had already passed them by. All she could see was the back of his head, his light crop of hazel hair.
I heard we were getting a transfer, Maeve said. He's not so bad.
Not bad at all. She pursed her lips.
Yeah, well, said Kalina. I've had enough of guys for the time being.
Not for you, silly. For me,
Maeve shrugged. If I could ever get up the nerve.
Maeve was notoriously shy around boys. Kalina could spot a gaggle of girls flocking around the mysterious boy.
Look at them, like honeybees on a summer's day, she said.
I could be one of those honeybees, said Maeve, laughing.
Good luck, said Kalina. Better you than one of them.
Most of the other cheerleaders on the squad cared for little more than the status achieved by hooking up with the latest football player. Besides, she couldn't think about guys right now. She had too much on her plate. What had happened last night, and why couldn't she remember anything? Lost in her thoughts, she bumped straight into the boy, to the envy of the honeybee contingent, who tittered and wondered unsubtly why they hadn't thought of such a tactic themselves.
Kalina!
She looked up. It was Stuart.
We keep bumping into each other, I guess.
He gave a nervous laugh.
I guess.
She considered him. Aren't you a little old to be a student?
I'm 18.
He looked uncomfortable.
I took some time off. Did a couple of years abroad. Not for credit. Doing stuff for the winery. I'm graduating a bit late.
Abroad? Where?
China,
he said, just a bit too quickly. She smiled. I've always wanted to go to China. One of my birth parents was Chinese.
Do you speak it?
No, she shrugged. Never met them. Adopted. She deflected any follow-up questions. So, you're the new guy.
I'm the new guy.
Hey, can I talk to you for a second? She took him by the arm and led him away, much to the chagrin of the other girls. When they were out of earshot, she continued, Hey, what happened last night? Stuart opened his mouth to speak, but before he could answer, up sauntered Jeannie Coltrane. She was the head cheerleader on the squad, and Kalina's main rival for a college scholarship. Kalina couldn't help feeling predatory as Jeannie took his arm.
I want to show you around, she said. You have to meet everybody. I'm like your chaperone, okay?
That's very kind, said Stuart, straightening his back. But I think I've found myself a chaperone already.
Jeannie withdrew. Suit yourself, she said. See you in history. She went off to lick her wounds. See you at cheerleading practice, Kaylee. Don't be late. Kalina laughed.
You didn't have to do that. I've seen it all before, said Stuart. It's not my thing.
So, are you going to tell me? Stuart flushed.
It's complicated, he said.
I like complicated. She crossed her arms. She had a feeling that Stuart had something to do with what happened last night, and she wasn't about to let him off the hook until she found out what it was.
How about I meet you after school? Said Stuart. We'll talk about it then?
Something in his inflection made it sound like Stuart was asking her on a date. She blushed, in spite of herself. He had Aaron's voice, Aaron's smile. She remembered when Aaron had first asked her out, using precisely those same words. And warmth flooded the space between her ribs. It was good to feel that warmth again.
Okay,
she said.
I'll see you then, Miss Kalina.
Meet here at 3 o'clock? My locker's number 204.
Come by the house at 3:30,
said Stuart.
The Greystone Wineries. You know the building.
She nodded.
Chapter 4 Stuart arrived home moments past 3. His vampire abilities were often useful in these minor ways. No sooner had the bell rung that he found a suitably secluded spot in the parking lot from which to fly, moving so quickly that he would have appeared little more than a blur to anyone who saw him. He had been living here for months, ever since he returned after Aaron's death. Although Greystone Wineries had workers working the field and winery, the place seemed so empty without him. The vines withered on the sides of the house, and the light cast eerie shadows over dusty floors. The workers had left for the season, and now even the grapevines were in desperate need of care. He wasn't proud of the place. It hadn't been particularly well kept. But then again, only Aaron lived in the main house. Their parents, Gerard and Mary Lee Greystone, were long dead. Stuart and Jager had left years ago, right after their deaths. They told outsiders of a father and a mother, of course, and it was so easy for Aaron to use his powers to be convincing. He was the youngest of the vampires, but in many ways perhaps the most skilled at that particular power. He had a puppy-like earnestness that would have convinced listeners even if he hadn't been exercising hypnosis at the same time. But it was only ever Aaron, since that terrible day they did not speak of, since those two graves were dug, that had run the wineries. Stuart didn't really get into the wine itself, since Aaron had a winemaker's nose. But when he can, he did help Aaron with sales to the bars and restaurants. And now Aaron was dead. It didn't seem real. Stuart had been alive so long that death had become what happened to other people. To human people. Even, at times, to those he had accidentally killed, before he learned to overcome his vampire nature. It had been a struggle. Young vampires were no more capable of understanding their actions than men on hallucinogenic drugs. Some, like Stuart, eventually mastered their urges. Some, like Jager, chose not to. It was a point of contention between them. It always had been. Stuart argued for a conscience. Jager argued from nature.
"Humans kill chickens and cows," he had always said, "and we don't fault them. Humans kill pigs. Pigs are very intelligent creatures. And they kill dolphins and tuna fish, and we say it's part of the food chain." "Well, Stuart, my brother, we're part of the food chain."
"But we don't have to kill humans. Not with vampire wine."
"And humans can eat tofu."
Jager always laughed it off.
"But they don't. At least, not most humans. The sensible ones."
They had disagreed on everything. Always had. The only thing that they had ever agreed upon was Aaron. Ever since Aaron's birth, they had both loved him. Their father, Gerard, their young stepmother, Mary Lee, Jager and Stuart, had lived at Greystone Wineries. Then there was Aaron, Mary Lee's son. He was so young. At first a half-human, half-vampire that could still age from babbling infancy to adolescence. A baby half-vampire. It had frustrated them at first, confused them. Brought up human feelings of protection neither was aware of before. For 17 years, they had watched a creature grow up alongside them, watch his blood circulate, his heartbeat, his organs stretch and grow as he aged, and then his mother turned him. They couldn't blame her. What mother wants to see her child grow older than her? And Aaron's mother would never look a day older than 17, when Gerard turned her.
"It's not natural," she had tried to explain. "A son older than his mother."
But then again, they had never been natural. Stuart heard a thump from the other room. The prickly hairs on the back of his neck stood up. There was someone here. Thump. He tightened his hand on the dagger he kept hidden in his belt. He sniffed the air and stalked over to the door to the living room.
"Jager?"
he called as he opened the door.
"Ah, brother dearest, you're home," said Jager, lightly.
He was sitting at his desk with the Greystone Bible in hand.
"I'm just catching up on a little light reading. Hope you don't mind." "Not remotely," said Stuart, stiffly. "I've been finding such interesting things, you know. This book is truly one fascinating piece of work."
He continued nonchalantly flipping through the pages.
"Chock full of clues. Did you know that?"
"What did you find out?"
"Well, that's my business, isn't it?"
Jager said, pretending to be hurt.
"I did all the research."
"Just tell me what you know."
Stuart's voice grew louder.
"Is it the girl or isn't it?"
"Temper, temper,"
said Jaeger.
Really? Let's see. Emmerich Greystone, born 1044, died 1100. Nice long life. Edward Greystone, born 1067, died 1110. Respectable.
What illustrious ancestors we have.
Get to the point, Jaeger.
Oh, here's us.
Jaeger Greystone, born 1329, R. 1349. Love that. R. Resurrected. 1349. Stuart Greystone, born 1331.
Such a younger brother you are.
Jaeger. Fine. I'll skip ahead. As you wish.
He turned a mass of pages.
Aaron Greystone, born 1870. What a baby. Died 1887.
Died?
Yes, died. How curious. Not resurrected. Died.
But how...
Old Jebediah Greystone doesn't seem to have realized that Aaron was one of us, although they managed to figure it out about us.
Is that what Aaron wanted Kalina to see? That he was born in 1870 and died in 1887? That he was not human?
Perhaps. It isn't like it is a big secret to the Greystones.
Would you keep your voice down?
Nobody's here. I don't see why people shouldn't know in any case. I hear it's a good way to pick up women. They love vampires. I think they love being alive a tad more. One would think so, yes.
Jaeger shrugged.
But they don't seem to mind. And Aaron? I bet he loved being alive.
But he couldn't help being suspicious. He didn't trust Jaeger. He had never trusted Jaeger. Whatever humanity and kindness Jaeger had exhibited when they were alive, only lightly touched by his arrogance and vanity, had long been snuffed out by centuries in Octavius's army.
It's good paying work,
Jaeger had said.
Like hunting food.
Being a mercenary paid the bills, and vampires were the best fighters of all.
Someone has to pay for the winery.
The family had always made wine. From the early days in England, to settlements along the Silk Road centuries later, to their final arrival in California late in the 18th century. Under Octavius, Jaeger had changed immeasurably. He had grown hard and cold and cruel, so proud of his vampire nature that he lost all touch with the human he might have been. Stuart had thought that they had always both loved Aaron, that no matter how cruel or callous Jaeger got, he would always reserve what little love he had left in his soul for his brother. But perhaps he was giving Jaeger too much credit.
You think I did it, brother?
Jaeger looked away.
If you think I can kill vampires that easily, you should be more worried about your own life.
They both knew he could kill Stuart with a flick of his wrist.
I didn't, in case you're wondering. But you didn't suspect me, did you?
Of course not,
said Stuart, gruffly.
Jaeger, listen. What are you doing at the winery? What do you want here? I could ask you the same question,
said Jaeger, with an enervating grin. A knock came from downstairs.
Oh, don't bother yourself.
Jaeger had already whirled past him. His voice echoed from the stairs.
I'll get it.
The man who opened the door seemed terribly familiar. Kalina recognized his face, his beautiful eyes, the smooth marble-like skin. She had seen him before, but where? Images of yesterday's blackouts appeared suddenly in the back of her brain. She pushed them out.
Don't be silly,
she told herself. I'm here to see Stuart, she said.
Stuart, Jaeger called. Your date is here.
Kalina blushed. It's not a...
Oh, good,
Jaeger grinned at her.
I must say, you have such a lovely... neck.
His eyes fell on her bared throat, her parted lips. She felt him staring at her and felt decidedly uncomfortable. Who are you, exactly? She said, trying to sound more intimidating than she felt.
Aaron's other half-brother, Jaeger.
Kalina!
Stuart broke in from atop the landing.
So nice to see you.
He cleared his throat and gave Jaeger a pointed look.
I see you've met my brother.
His voice took on a strange pitch.
Jaeger was just leaving. Was I?
Jaeger gave him a look of mock surprise. Kalina felt even more uncomfortable.
If this isn't a good time... No. Come right in.
Jaeger leered at her again.
We're delighted to have you.
Okay.
A strong wind rose up from the window, blowing towards the east. Stuart stopped short, closing his eyes
and inhaling sharply.
"Stuart?"
He opened his eyes and fixed them upon her, his pupils dilating with desire. He looked like a man possessed, in the grip of some great terror.
"You okay, Stuart?"
"That smell..." His voice trailed off. "You smell like..."
"Like what?"
"Look, I've got to..."
Before she could stop him, he bolted up the stairs.
"What happened?"
Jigger shrugged.
"He has a dandelion allergy," he said lightly. "But I'd be happy to show you around, if you'd like."
"Actually, I think I'm going to..."
"No, please. Aaron would have wanted me to show you the vineyard."
She considered.
"I guess..."
"Right this way, then."
He offered her his arm.
"Let's go to the winery. And may I say, my dear, I'm afraid I didn't catch your name, that your perfume smells absolutely delicious?"
Chapter 5 Kalina wasn't quite sure what to think of Jaeger just yet. There was something disturbing about him, something that made her feel that he was watching her, that he knew more than he let on. It annoyed her. It almost infuriated her. He sauntered through the grapevines with an arrogance she had never seen before. He owns this place, and he knew it, and he wanted her to know it, too. He pointed out pathways and grape varieties with the polished surety of a connoisseur.
"I'm too young to drink, thanks,"
she said testily, when he offered her a sip of the 2007 vintage.
"What a good girl you are,"
Jaeger said, a slow grin spreading across his face.
"Is Stuart back?"
She couldn't quite identify a reason to be angry with him. This made her angrier than she thought possible. "I didn't exactly sign up for a wine tour. We had..."
"Your boyfriend will be back soon enough."
"He's not my..."
"He just needs to drink his medicine."
"Huh." She glowered at him. And yet she found something strangely enticing in the sensation of his eyes upon her, looking her up and down with something between appraisal and hunger. He had made his interest in her, if only purely a physical one, very clear, and he advertised his own beauty freely. Aaron had a similar look, at his most impossible, when he cottoned on to his own attractiveness and strutted down the locker room hallway without a care. But his was a younger incarnation of the same expression. Aaron hadn't seen as much of the world as this man had. Of this, at least, Kalina was certain. Jaeger looked at her as if he'd seen many, many women without their clothes on, and knew exactly how she looked underneath them.
"So this is the winery," said Kalina, straining to be polite.
"My father's pride and joy," said Jaeger.
He gave an idle sigh.
"And Aaron's. Poor Aaron."
"Poor Aaron indeed," said Kalina.
Where were her manners? Jaeger had just lost his brother. She hoped this, perhaps, could explain his rude behavior.
"Do you miss him?"
"I didn't know him very well,"
said Jaeger, his voice turning sharp.
"You're awfully inquisitive."
This did not shut her down. "I miss him," she said. "A lot. Every day."
"How unfortunate for you."
He sped up his pace. "You know, it's okay to miss somebody you love." He whirled around.
"Just drop the subject, please."
"I'm sorry," she said, staring him full in the eyes. "I just thought you should know how many people loved him around here. How special he was to everybody." He lowered his gaze.
"Thank you,"
he said quietly.
"You're very kind."
They passed by a clearing. The ground was wet with afternoon rain, and the grass grew high and tangled. Jaeger stopped short. "Are you okay?" Kalina asked him. A morbid expression was gathering like storm clouds on his face.
"Fine,"
said Jaeger. He sighed and plucked a flower from the patch. His gaze lingered on the withering petals.
"It's a nice spot, that's all."
He cleared his throat.
"Come on, let me show you where the grapes are pressed."
He took her into a stone room in a complex at the end of the vineyard.
"Here we are,"
he said.
"Winemaking Central."
Kalina inhaled. The smell of fresh grapes was sharp, pungent, and sweet all at once, like the musk of woods at dawn.